Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, that is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Try Brower. The former blockup has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Tis the season, Chuck. Enjoy your life. Enjoy it, buddy.
Great to be here. Beautiful day. Not too cold.
Oh, what's the temperature? Did you write it down?
Hold on a second. Let me check my weather app.
Boy, this guy who's been accused of just sort of mailing it in since 2010, I believe I narrowed it down to.
That's fair.
You showed up in 2008. Everybody said, this kid's sharp. He's going places. 10 years later, we had to trace it back to 2010 when he just kind of stopped caring. One day, though, you walked in, and he had a sheet of paper, and I thought, wow, Chuck's got notes. He's written down all of his hot takes.
This is a false narrative, but go ahead.
He had written down the temperature.
Among many other things I wrote
and
down.
He walked, you don't have extensive
Chuck,
notes, but
Chuck
he walked in.
Chuck doesn't write down his hot takes. He's kind of an improv artist on the radio.
I write down my live reads because
that's
I want to give the companies that spend their hard-earned money a solid read.
But you want that Harper take to come naturally. You don't want to have to write it down.
Stumbles into hot take. I think the Cards need Machado and, you know. No, Harper. Yeah, that's the guy. So one day he wrote down the temperature and walked in. He was like scrambling. Hold on.
Oh, this is totally BS.
Oh, and I'm an elitist sexist, okay?
Okay.
Well, wait a minute. Okay.
It's 48 degrees, though.
Sorry, Martin. Jessica Mendoza signed an extension with ESPN. You got to hear her a little
bit.
Is
that right?
Yeah, she just did.
She's a wonderfully talented broadcaster. I just think she talks too much. That's all. Can you say that? Can you tell somebody, God,
yes,
you're really good at what you do, but you could be even better if you did this? I don't think that. I didn't say she's terrible.
I know. It's a joke.
I know. But
hold
I'm
on here.
I'm a sexist jerk.
Keep going. Stumbling into a hot take here. Why have we moved in television to a three-person booth, basically, with a lot of these sports? Now, football, for the most part, not so much. But some of the national baseball games, why do we have a three-person booth? Because it's harder to get this synergy. People are stepping on each other, talking. There's not as much flow. They're working it out live on TV.
I think the ESPN Sunday Night Broadcast booth is hard to gauge because that was year one. So that synergy does take time. I think in baseball it does make sense because it's basically a 3.5 hour long broadcast. So you have enough space for three people to give their opinion. For basketball, to me, it makes less sense because it's a 2 hour broadcast, give or take, and there isn't as much room.
Yeah, I think the ESPN, now we could talk about it on both fronts, the Sunday Night Baseball and Monday Night Football have both been not well received as far as broadcast trios. I think Vasgersian's really good, really talented. I like him in almost every venue. I think Joe Tessitore is really good. I don't think he's well known, but I think he's really good. I think the Booger McFarlane on the field thing makes it weirder.
In the Booger Mobile?
You don't like him yelling and blocking the view of people trying to watch the game?
First of all, he's in the way. Okay, that's one thing. But he kind of chimes in when Witten is stumbling into his point. It's a really awkward mix.
You have two people stumbling into hot takes at the same time within a Monday Night Football broadcast.
And I feel like Vasgersian and A-Rod, and I've been told they're buddies. But that's how it happened. A-Rod works for Fox. What the hell is he doing on ESPN on Sunday night? Vasgersian was they wanted A-Rod, and he said, I'll do it, but I'm not leaving Fox, and I have to have Vasgersian. And ESPN said, okay. And then I think because ESPN does try really hard to be progressive. I'm not doing a Clay Travis lefty liberal thing.
That's from 5 to 7, Martin.
But triggered. Snowflake.
But I think they said, hey, Mendoza's been on the show the last couple of years. we want a female in the booth. We are ESPN, and we try to be a little bit progressive. I think that is sort of their mindset. Then they said, you will join A-Rod and Vasgersian. So I think it was sort of an arranged marriage, and it came off that way on the air. That's all I'm saying.
I have to say, though, I don't mind that broadcast. They try to have fun, and again, it was year one, but at least they're positive. They joke. Vasgersian's sarcastic. A-Rod is very optimistic.
I'm not a big Vasgersian fan.
I am, actually. I thought, now look.
Oh, I think he gets too excitable and his voice gets high-pitched and he has that really stupid Santa Maria.
You're talking about Santa Maria.
Needs to go away.
But look, Santa Maria is haunting you, isn't it?
That needs to go away.
Let me tell you, Matt Vasgersian, when he was on MLB Central,
he's good on that.
With Mark DeRosa, with Eric Burns, and with Lauren Shahadi, that show was my favorite show on TV.
I think he was good on that. I think he's kind of like Ernie Johnson. He's really good in a studio setting, less good in a broadcast booth.
Not a great – you don't like his play-by-play.
Yes.
How about Dexter Fowler has one signature moment in 2018, and he's like, man, that Santa Maria stupid call, that's all I got this year. Hey, it is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Frank is out today. We didn't just kill his mic for a few minutes here while he ate some pastries.
We should
which
do that
possible.
One day.
Why is
well,
he
one
out?
One day you guys come in here, start the show, Plowsy never turn Frank's mic on, and let's just see what he does.
He would just keep talking. Frank, at times, as talented, as popular as he is, at times he can be a little oblivious. So it's possible he would just do the whole show with his mic off.
How about this? Because I checked the weather app to see the temperature
serious?
Here, I have three different cities in my weather app right now. St. Louis, of course, the greatest city in the country, Toledo, and then also Las Vegas. It's warmer right now in St. Louis, it's 48 degrees, than it is at the winter meetings in Sin City, Las Vegas.
So
it's 46 degrees
now?
Right now.
Wow.
There's your pitch.
In Vegas.
Mo, get on the Bryce Harper dance card, and the opening pitch is that it's warmer here.
Are you saying the hot stove is not so hot?
How about that? It has not been real hot, has it? Talk about going all the way up. Brendan Schaefer all the way out there, and you like packed up all your hot takes next to your swim trunks, and you don't really need either, to be honest.
First of all, Brendan Schaefer is not really covering the winter meetings.
What?
He texted me probably 47 times on Monday Night Football as we both were in the middle of just the knockdown, drag-out fantasy football
matchup. I was
wondering
when he flew in because he was very active texting me, hey, you still have a chance to win. And then I see that he's in Vegas.
No, true story. He texted me. He said he was the only person basically sitting in the Vegas sportsbook, wherever he was at, on Monday. And he went crazy.
Sportsbook?
He went crazy watching Adam Thielen catch a unimportant catch for about 12 yards at the end of the game to give him a fantasy football victory.
So he is to fantasy sports what you are to gambling, which would be obsessed. Fair?
I wouldn't say that because, first of all, fantasy sports is also gambling, and I threw out the tip yesterday. Now, I did like the Blues minus a goal and a half, but I felt like the Blues were going to put on a little bit of a show. Didn't exactly happen the way I said it was, but how about the note? Maybe it's more impressive, fighting back after falling down one zip, taking the lead 3-1, falling behind again. And look, we've all kind of questioned, including the players themselves and their coach. We hear words like fragile. And the effort has been questioned this year. I know the Panthers aren't that great, but they came back twice to get a win, and they badly needed it.
How about the power of 590 The Fan? I think Chris Pronger, who was a guest on the show, was then later in the day. And so then we talked really throughout the day after he was on and quoted Chris Kerber. He goes by Kerber. About the fight that happened in practice. Not that big a deal, but Kerber's quote was, this can go one of two ways. And I thought it was interesting, and he basically admitted one of the two ways was it could tear you apart. And then I hear Chris Pronger on the Blues pregame yesterday. Cam was in a break, and I'm flipping around, and Chris Pronger is a guest.
Cam Alex took our guest.
No, they had Pronger on, which
they're,
is...
They're cutting our grass, Cam Alex!
But he is asked... About, and he should have been on. I mean, it makes sense. They're playing the Panthers. He's working for them from the Blues press box. It's a great gig. And he's asked about the fight, and he said, well, from my experience, this can go one of two ways. I'm like, hey, he was listening to us all day. He took our hot take, Chuck.
Or he was also a longtime NHL veteran, and he experienced that firsthand.
Oh.
I'm guessing, don't you think Prongs probably,
reported by
don't
John
you think
Heyman.
He probably got in a tussle or two with a teammate over
he
the
said
years?
That. Oh, yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I might have had a couple of those myself. All right,
see, I thought when you said that people listen to the station, the Orioles hired a manager yesterday. Now it's after you wondered who was going to manage the Orioles.
That's unbelievable. Producer Joe.
Peter Angelis was streaming. He was like, oh, my God, he's right. We don't have one.
Producer Joe, who is also a big fan of this show and an Orioles fan, as soon as I brought that up yesterday, he texted me and said, yes, ridiculous. Thank you for reminding them they don't have a manager.
It was kind of funny they went this long with that one.
They're fielding a team. They're piecing the team together. They're making bids to free agents, in theory. And they don't have a pitching coach, hitting coach, manager. So if you're the player, you're
needs
like,
that.
Yeah, who am I playing for? Because I've heard he's a player's. Oh, you don't have a manager.
Look, I actually appreciate this because nowadays you have so many teams that are tanking. Just be 100% about it. Don't even hire a coaching staff. Save money on the manager. Save money on the pitching coach and the hitting coach. If you're really not going to try to win, why don't you go full on out, just throw out 25 guys, let a different guy each day write up the lineup card, and really tank and really save money.
The ultimate player's manager? No manager.
Right there.
Let the players do what they want.
Think about it.
We're tanking. And the guys, it's just like a little game over at Larson Park or
honestly, if you're
Forest
not trying
Park,
to win.
The guys together. All right, hey, Yachty, why don't you round out? You want to round out a lineup today? Yachty's like, I got you. I'm going to hit lead off and clean
up. They just pass a hat around with numbers written inside of it. Pull it. That's where you're batting. All right, I'm third.
It's happened.
You don't need a manager. You're not trying to win. I'm dead serious. You're really not trying to win. So what does it matter?
It's a great marketing slogan for the Orioles.
Who do you think their manager will be? I hear they have some secret candidates. Mm. In other words, they don't really have a plan.
In other words, anybody is on the
correct
table.
Correct. And then you look, they actually have been interviewing people. But it's all the names you've heard, like Manny Actas, these guys who've been like four or five places.
No, they're hiring the Cubs bench coach now.
Are they?
That was official. That's why I said that.
Oh, they really did hire somebody?
They're going to hire Brandon Hyde, the former Cubs, now former Cubs bench coach. Hyde's their new manager. Hydesy. It would have been funny, though, if they went like, hey, you guys, you know, last year we tried to win and lost a lot. This year, we're not going to try to win, and we're going to see how much we lose.
But look,
that's
the Rays,
for 2019.
The Rays kind of tried not to win in a way, but ended up winning 90 games.
Because they played in a division with two really terrible teams.
And two fantastic teams.
Yeah, but the two terrible teams kind of help elevate your...
Give them credit, man.
Give them credit.
Seriously, to win 90 games when you're trading away, what? Colome, who else they trade away? Longoria. They got Tommy Pham
Genesis
who went off. Genesis Cabrera. Baseball needs a strong middle class because so many teams are tanking and then you have the elites. Shout out to the Rays and a team like the Twins. Even though the Twins' moves didn't work last year, they kind of try to win, right? They're kind of in the middle. No, seriously.
Try to
isn't that what the Cardinals do?
They make smart, you would think, one-year deals, and they kind of go for it when a lot of teams are tanking.
All right, let's do this. It is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. We're here in the McBride Home Studios. Frank is out today. We'll get to the Monique angle. We're going to get into an opening monologue here. Just some topics for Chuck here. Bomberito Automotive brings you the content of this show, Bomberito Automotive Group. You can find them all on the web. Let's do this. Let's begin. Let's do lap one first.
1 sec. I got to pull it up.
First lap.
I did not know you were doing this.
Yeah.
In the meantime, tell us about, here we go. Lap one. Okay.
Yum.
Thank you, Plowsy.
Oh, we need the actual vroom part?
Let it build. Okay. Let's do this.
Can you pop me up, Plowsy, please?
3, 2, and 1. This isn't awkward. There we go. Okay.
Oh, that's not awkward at all.
Good start.
Can I tell a quick story?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
For a quick
go
story.
Ahead.
No, I mean.
Could have told it while I was looking for the
we have a lot to get to, clearly.
We do. Actually, the lineup today, we got a good one. Corey Tate, assistant coach of the Billikens, played for Norm Stewart, former Pattonville star, was at, is it Three Rivers? He coached there for a while. Corey Tate helping land some of that top talent for the Billikens. We'll talk to Corey at 10:30. Going live to Philly at 11 with the Shredder, friend of the show, Tom Shredenshek, longtime Fox Philly, on this owner of the Phillies. And what's at stake here? Because he has said, we're all in, we're going for it. And then the first move was Andrew McCutchen, which seemed to be kind of a... I like Andrew McCutchen. Great guy.
Super guy.
$50 million.
Good for him, though, right?
Great for him.
After last offseason, I'm okay with any player getting paid.
So I kind of wanted to get the pulse of Philly. Like, if this owner says all this and then they get nobody, what happens? So we'll go live to Philly, Chuck, at 11 o'clock. We've got some wine in the house at 11:20. And you guys, with the ghost of Frank, immediately I said, we've got Noble Ice Vineyards coming in. You both said, how about some cheese and some some meats, charcuterie, and some crackers.
And yeah, a little charcuterie. I had a charcuterie plate on Friday night at Acero. It was very good.
Who doesn't love a nice summer sausage,
yes,
some cheese, maybe some Triscuits? Come on now. And it's, for the holidays, a nice appetizer plate?
You missed it, Martin. We had a great summer sausage plate at the Schnucks in Shrewsbury.
Really good.
Yeah.
So I texted back our friends, Noble Ice, proud sponsors with Our Little Haven. They're doing an event to raise some money for them. And I said, the boys have requested, not me, of course. I said, the boys have requested some cheese and sausage.
Make us out to be the greedy ones, like you weren't thinking about food.
And the response was perfect. And then I thought, well, but that's not that. I didn't say I was bringing it. I was sort of asking, so I'm not sure.
Text back. Just so you know, I meant that I wanted you to bring.
What did perfect mean, exactly?
The cheese and sausage.
That didn't sound like it's coming. I was hoping it's, do you like a Gouda? What would you prefer?
I like a nice Colby Jack. I'm very simple.
Pepper Jack. I like Pepper Jack.
So anyway, that's in the 11 o'clock. Our Strick's here at noon. It's our Wednesday visit during the coveted hour. We'll talk some Blues hockey with Strick. But this is the opening monologue. Hollywood Casino, proud sponsor of the show, and Lap One.
That was better. Good work.
So what does it mean, Charles? The Blues were 0-12-2 when trailing after two periods. They win a game last night. They tried hard to lose. They're good at that. But they won the game. Made it more exciting. The home fans seemed to appreciate a little effort from the boys. Bortuzzo didn't beat up any teammates. Jake Allen made enough saves. Is it a turning point?
Is it a turning point? It is not.
Correct.
And I say that because... But look, they absolutely needed to win this game because, as I talked about yesterday, you basically had 72 hours of turmoil. You needed some positivity and get everybody to stop talking about the poor start to the season, the injuries, the 6-1 embarrassment on Sunday, being called fragile by your own teammates and coaches, and then the fight on Monday. You just needed a win. So the turning point will be if they can actually roll this into some consistency, because I'm just trying to think back off the top of my head. Have the Blues went on a run of more than about, I mean, have they gone even 4-1 in 5 games this year? It seems like they haven't. They need to have a stretch. I know it'll be difficult because they have a lot of injuries, but you also got Schwartz back last night, and clearly, I mean, he was making plays with a couple of assists. You need to have a stretch here where you win 4 out of 5.
The Blues have had one stretch winning 4 out of 5. That was from October 27th through November 9th. They've won 5 games total since then.
Their next game is on a Friday.
5-0 on Fridays.
It's a big Blues Friday. The Lancer here.
TGIF at the Enterprise Center.
I'm going to say they win Friday.
I agree with you.
I didn't think they'd win last night, I'll be honest.
I did.
Did you win money or not? It was confusing because I thought they needed to win by 2.
Well, there's different ways to bet. I actually...
Luckily, Charlie bets 8 ways on the
no,
same
No, because, look, you don't want to get too greedy. I actually did, though. I thought that the Blues would come out guns blazing and get up early. And I'm watching that game, and I see right out of the gate, 4-minute penalty, and I'm thinking, all right, here we go. They're going to score, and it's going to get things going. Couple posts, all of a sudden they fall behind. But again, I think it shows some stick-to-itiveness to fall behind, go up, fall behind, or, you know, the game's tied, you come back again. But no, the Blues just won. Obviously, they didn't win by 2. You'd have won plus 220 if the Blues won by 2 goals. You basically win minus 125 if the Blues just win, which they did last night.
Lap 2. Is the one that comes after lap. It's my fault. I was thought it was going to go lap 3.
It's all good.
Hoff had a bad Tuesday. This is a big day for him.
I know.
This is a big day for him.
I had a bad Monday. Monday was
I'm sorry. Yeah. My bad.
Monday was bad.
Charlie says you can have 1 or 2 bad days a week. It's
yeah,
fine.
I will
Nobody
totally...
remembers. Nobody remembers.
How about I did, but I had the wrong day. I was about to make a very inside joke.
Where were you?
Just do it.
Oh, say it.
No.
Come on.
It's kind of mean.
Okay. Say it more. All the more reason to say
Lap
it.
Lap 2. The winter meetings.
Boring.
Must be moved to Huntsville, Alabama or Tulsa, Oklahoma. True or false?
Yes, true.
Because nothing's getting done. Our theory, and Hoff sort of brought this up, they're in Vegas. They're having too much fun.
They're probably all with Schaefer at the sports book watching the Monday night game.
They probably went to a show. They're like, hey, Mo, can we get a deal? He's like, is that pirate ship thing still going out front?
Yeah. See Celine Dion
They're having
tonight.
Too much fun. This has been a lame-ass week in terms of a true hot stove. Move it somewhere, Toledo, Tulsa, wherever, so that they are forced to sit in the hotel and get deals done.
100%. 100%. And didn't you kind of think, though, that the Harper Machado shoes weren't going to drop this week? I did expect more, though. I think it's kind of funny when, you know, we're focusing on the Cardinals, as we should. And again, I just think the more we talk about Bryce Harper, we build it up, and I think there's a very small chance it actually happens. Whoa. But it's such an easy narrative when the Cardinals go to the winter meetings and then they get a Las Vegas native who's a left-handed hitter, who's 26 years old, and it's this guy named Drew Robinson that we all had to Google. And then, of course, you go to the vocal minority on Twitter and, oh, yeah, could have got Harper. We get Drew Robinson instead. Like, come on, people. The Cardinals still need to make some ancillary moves. They need a left-handed bullpen guy. They need a bench bat. I mean, they might make another significant move. I don't think that's going to happen, but they still have to kind of fill up the ends of the roster, right?
Don't you miss it when teams would make dumb trades during the winter meetings? Wasn't it like a few years ago where the Padres, with really no reason, traded for Matt Kemp and brought in Will Myers, and it made no sense. But
they
were
going for it.
But it was fun.
Craig Kimbrell?
Yes, they were making moves, and it was fun. I want a team to do that. Where are the trades?
That's what actually disappoints me about the Philadelphia situation. The owner comes out with the big talk. We're going to throw around stupid money. Now, I'm sure Andrew McCutchen, when he got that offer, he said, can I sign it as soon as possible? He never thought he was going to get 3 years, $50 million. But I thought stupid money was like $350 million. Just throwing money here and there. Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, let's do everything.
Lap 3 was going to be, we're going to skip lap 3 because it was going to be fans complain about everything, and I was going to mention the Wisdom deal. Who cares if they traded Patrick Wisdom? Shut up. Who cares?
I have to say,
people
though,
are mad about it.
I saw someone complain about the return. What were you expecting exactly?
God, I forgot he was on the team. God bless him. I wish him the best.
Me too.
Who cares?
May I say this, though? Sometimes we overlook people, and I understand that Patrick Wisdom, you know, he was a good prospect back in the day. He was a first-round pick, I believe, in 2012. And just remembering him being up with the Cardinals this year, when this trade happened and I went to look up his numbers, I didn't remember him having such success with the Cardinals, even though it was only 30 or so games. He had an 882 OPS with the Cardinals this year. Now, it's a small sample size, but couldn't you see a Luke Voit-type situation happening there? If he were to go, no, hold on. The Rangers also, are they really trying? If this guy gets,
I get confused who is and isn't.
But look, if this guy gets 150 games in a ballpark like Texas,
I hope he does great.
Couldn't you see him throwing up some home run numbers?
But do you have a spot where you want him playing right now?
No, and that's my point. But an 882 OPS, I understand it's 32 games. That's pretty darn good.
How about next year before the winter meetings, Rob Manfred and the baseball writers go around to each team and just ask, okay, real quick, just to temper our expectations for the winter meetings, are you trying? So that way, if it comes back, it's like, okay, 20 teams aren't trying and 10 are, we know not to expect a whole lot.
Lap 4. And we're going to get more into this later when we have more time, Chuck. The all-time buyouts on the way out. In other words, here's some money, just leave. The best deal at the winter meetings is for Troy Tulowitzki. You're Troy Tulowitzki right now. You just got cut, Chuck. How do you feel?
I feel fantastic because I also have $38 million.
Yes.
I was already rich before that. I can still play. You're hearing the A's thrown around as a team. Maybe he plays second base. You talk about a guy kind of falling off the cliff, though. I mean, one of the best players in baseball
for...
There
was a time the Cardinals were heavy in...
Every year it seemed like.
Yeah.
But I'm not feeling sorry for Tulo.
No.
Good for him.
Kyler Murray, play baseball. Don't you think?
Yep.
All right, left 5. Craig Mish is trolling all of us. He really lives in Melville. He doesn't live in Miami.
I agree with that, actually.
He was seen wearing an MLS for the Lou hat with Jim Hayes yesterday. This guy covers the Miami Marlins, but is more involved in St. Louis sports than anybody I know other than Danny Mac.
That's true.
What is going
on? It's kind of odd, but I love it.
It's really odd, and I'm trying to figure it out.
And it's funny because no one knew, at least in St. Louis, really who he was.
Until about a year ago.
Yeah, until Stanton happened.
May I also say, we've interviewed him a couple times right on the radio, different shows.
He's a nice guy.
He seems, no, he seems like a super nice guy.
No, I have no problem with him at all. I think he's just messing with us.
I think he wants a job somewhere else but to cover the Marlins. So he's
maybe
trying
that's
to be
nice.
No, here's what it is.
Dude, you live in Miami. We're jealous of you.
That's the point.
You don't want to be here.
The point is this.
Stop wanting to be here. We want to be there.
Here's the deal. He's torn because he loves baseball. In Miami, he has crap baseball. we have great baseball normally in St. Louis. He has the great weather. He doesn't want to give up the great weather, but he wants to talk about the good baseball.
And this guy spent all last offseason talking about trading away Yelich, Giancarlo Stanton, and Marcell Ozuna. And then it's a whole year of bad baseball. Now what's he doing now? He's covering the Marlins trying to trade JT Realmuto. Like, he can't have fun. It's always just, okay, what great player are they going to trade away this year that I have to cover for getting very little in return?
Chuck's neighbor today. But yeah, I heard we're getting Dietrich out of Miami. Where'd you do that? I saw Mish over at the Schnucks. Like, what?
he was really ringing the Salvation Army bell.
Yes. Support local. Like, wait a minute. It's weird. All right, lap six, real quick. Monique loves messing with Frank.
100%.
We all do.
So Frank has to have something medical today.
Nothing serious.
And he's fine. He's totally, he'll be back tomorrow.
But we're not allowed to talk about it?
I don't know.
I don't think he's brought it up.
I'm going to keep poking this.
Don't say poke. I think
it's something every older person has to go through.
Interesting.
He honestly is having a little bit of housekeeping done.
Yes.
Okay?
That's all it is.
Housekeeping.
But he couldn't eat food. And, you know, for Frank, it's like saying to Charlie, you can't gamble for the next hour.
That's tough.
I mean, that's impossible.
For the next hour.
False narrative.
So Frank sends a picture to Brian and myself last night. And he said, can you believe this? I can't eat any food. Doctor's orders. He's getting poked. And Monique is making fresh sourdough bread.
Mm.
And I'm like, that's kind of random. Like, you don't, on a Tuesday, Wednesday night,
she couldn't
sit around.
Do it like, Monday night or Wednesday
right.
night.
And then later, an updated picture, she was making chocolate chip cookies. Is there a New York Times recipe or something?
I guess so.
He said she's now making New York Times chocolate. And I said two things, grounds for divorce. Also, I'm on my way over.
Tonight, Monique's just going to like have Frank eat a bowl of soup or something. Here's some Campbell's soup.
Like, where'd all the food go? Like, oh, no, I sent it over to Alex's house.
I could see Frank just going into the kitchen and just almost snorting the smell of the sourdough
Correct.
Bread. You know what I'm saying? Knowing he can't actually eat it.
100%.
Like an addict.
100%. New York Times chocolate chips. If she's denied entrance to heaven, this will be the reason. Frank chiming in. And by the way, who does she think she is? Joey Vitale? Making
yeah.
bread? All right, lap six. That was the opening monologue brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park, but also Maryville, which brings you our listener lines, maryville.edu. We're going to talk basketball with Corey Tate when we come back on the Press Box.